This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And we want to welcome you to Wednesday Live. It's right now 11 o'clock and a few seconds thereafter. Just wondering if all of you stayed up as late as I did last night to watch all the counters in the counting houses with all their counting. Actually, I am going to be bringing Pastor Sam Chess on toward the end of the program today to talk a little bit about what's happened with the Vote for Life, and that has been a very big issue that we have had a lot of programming about over the last several months, just how this election really kind of came down to, in a lot of ways, it came down for me to Deuteronomy chapter 30, 19, 20, where God said, I put before you a choice. Life and death, you can make a choice, blessings and curses. And so then, of course, the heart of God is really seen where God says, I owe that you would choose life, that you would choose life. And so I'm going to bring Pastor Sam Chess on in a little while toward the end of the program. Want to just touch a little bit of our mail. And then once we've done that, we have Veterans Day that's coming up on the 11th. And we have Lieutenant Colonel Frank Bragg, who is with us. Welcome. Very nice to have you with us this morning. And Karen is here, and David is here. Our team is in-house. And so we are looking forward to a great day together. Keep your dial set right here. Let's go right to some of our mail. David, why don't we start with you? What do you have?
Well, as you know, the Veterans Day Parade is going to be happening in Stewart.
Martin County,
mm-hmm. Right, Martin County. Veterans Services, they're going to host that 2024 Veterans Day Parade. And because of that, they're going to have to close some roads, and people need to know about that. So on the 11th of November, which is the day of the parade, road closures are going to begin. The parade itself is between 9 and noon, I believe, on that day, 9 a.m., by the way, to not 9 p.m.
Thank you.
I mean, some people would want more clarity. So, and so these roads are going to be closed. The event road closures on Southeast Ocean Boulevard from Southeast Flagler Avenue to Southeast Amerigo Avenue, again between the hours of 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. Okay. You need to be aware of that. And if you are missing everything, you're driving, you can't write it down, you can contact the Martin County Public Works Department, and Melissa Pulver is the contact person. Her mail email is mpulver, that's M-P-U-L-V-E-R, at martin.fl.us, and the office number is 772-288-5466. And if you want to go online to see the map of all of this, it's http://conezone.martin.fl.us.
You did that really well, Dave, and I'm so glad that you helped us to understand it's going to be in the daytime and not at night.
Well, you know.
And it is rain or shine. It's a rain or shine event.
It is, right.
And this is great, and I've taken my boys over the years, and we've went. The parade's a great parade, and there's a great park there in Martin County.
Right.
We have something else?
Well, we had a call from a friend of the radio station who became aware of a part-time chaplaincy position that's being offered. And so now...
Job opportunity.
If you're the ears of your spirit just got... just perked up, then you might want to, if you can, write this down. If not, you can call the station at 772-221-1100, and we'll give you this information. But it's WellPath Recovery Solutions in It's an Indian Town address. It's actually off Alapata Road near the Martin Correctional Institution over there, just west in West Palm City. They provide rehab and recovery for prison inmates who are dealing with substance abuse issues. It's a part-time 20-hour-a-week position for a chaplain. And if you are at all interested, you may contact Jill at 772-597-9516. That's 772-597-9516. And just ask for Jill and say you heard about the open chaplaincy position at the facility off of Alapata Road, and you want to follow up.
All right, so that's very good. When we get information like this, we like to bring it to our family and just make you aware of that. So even if it's not perhaps you who are the chaplain, maybe you know a chaplain that might be looking, maybe retired, semi-retired, that's looking for some additional ministry opportunity and get a little extra income at the same time. So there that might be great. Karen, you have a little bit of mail, I think. What do you have?
I have a couple little things here. First of all, don't forget the annual 24th annual Bible reading marathon is underway. If you want to go and read aloud, you can go to the band shell in downtown Stewart at Memorial Park. Is that what it's called? I don't have the paper in front of me.
Veterans Memorial
at the
Park.
Band shell.
The band shell of Veterans Memorial Park.
Right on East Ocean Boulevard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
great event. This is what, 24th year.
So if you want more information about that, you can give us a call here at 772-221-1100, and we'll give you their contact information and any other questions that you might have.
All right. So we also, I know there's going to be a prayer event, and Kathy is going to be joining us, and Carol in a little bit at the bottom of the hour to talk about that as well. So, Karen, you have one other bit of information?
Yes, the Martin County, Donna Gordon from Martin County Government Administration, there's a community redevelopment agency vacancy. So if you're interested in applying for that position, you have to be a member of Martin County and a citizen of Martin County. You have to own a business or have a practicing profession in order to be on this board, Community Redevelopment Agency. So if you're interested in that, you can call Donna Gordon at 772-288-5756.
And this is really great that some of our counties that we reach into keep us posted on opportunities for the community to get involved in local government. And we do really encourage that because of the significant reality that I think a lot of times our commissioner, you just had one of our city commissioners,
right,
Christopher Collins, that was with us on your program, David, on Frontline. And he always talks about the fact that so many of the decisions that are made in local government are made by just a few people, not because it's intended to be that way, but because most of us just don't show up. And then we have opinions on maybe how things should be, but we didn't stand up and get involved to influence the direction that they could be. So this is a great opportunity. Keep that in mind. We bring these things to your attention. Lieutenant Colonel Frank Bragg, 27 years of service, active duty, 27 years, commanded intelligence units. I'm looking at all of this. Brigade groups, battalion, company levels, served as director of intelligence at many different echelons, including positions as the senior intelligence officer of multinational, joint, combined, strategic, operational, and tactical levels around the world. I'm just wondering how you look so young and you actually did all of this. You have a ton of awards, including the Distinguished Service Medal, the Defense Superior Service Medal, the Legion of Merit, the Bronze Star, and 20 other awards. And I guess in your spare time, you're a senior parachutist and jump master. So you have seen a lot of service. And along with this, God's blessed you with a wife and a family. Looks like you're married to Cindy. For how long?
In 1 month, 50 years.
1 month, 50 years. That's a hallelujah. That's wow. A hallelujah. And you have two daughters?
Two daughters, two sons-in-law.
That's
and
awesome.
10 grandchildren.
That's awesome. Mm. Well, Carl, you know, I'm looking at your education and training, and you do have ministry training as well, as far as a Master of Arts from Capital Bible Seminary. And there's just so many different degrees, leadership, strategic studies, with the Army, War College, and Command, General Staff, Master of Science in Business Administration, Bachelor of Arts, Political Science, ROTC graduate, and all the way back to 1971, Jeff Davis High School. Wow. Mm. From Georgia. Georgia, that's awesome. I married a lady from Georgia. And completed many other military courses throughout your 27-year career. And so many things we could talk about what you've done. And you might want to talk about some of that because it's Veterans Day. And this is not the same as Memorial Day, is it?
No.
Okay.
Big difference.
What is the big difference? I think some people get it mixed up.
Well, it's primarily the focus is, you know, honoring veterans, both alive and those that are deceased, that are veterans and have served, you know, peacetime, wartime, but they've served. And Memorial Day is, you know, sacrifice. It's more, you know, they have sacrificed their lives. You know, there's a big difference. And as you probably know, this is always on the 11th day of the 11th month of every year. And that was memorialized many years ago, that date. You know, it started with Armistice Day many, many decades ago. But it has a rich tradition. I grew up in a veteran family.
Okay.
You know, I was born into a veteran family, just like we're all born into a battle, into a war, a spiritual war.
Spiritual war, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I was born into a veteran family. My dad was a veteran. My grandfather was a veteran. My great-grandfather was a veteran. My great-great-grandfather was a veteran.
Mm. What a rich heritage.
I mean, you know, so I was born into it with, you know, this rich tradition of celebrating, you know, this day, you know, with sometimes parades, sometimes at a cemetery, sometimes just in the school, educating, informing, you know. So just a rich tradition to really grab onto. It was natural, you know, all for me. And so I'm fortunate.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your God story. How and where and how does God fit into your life? You've had a very busy life, and you've been able to
be
a lot
fortunate.
Of places.
You know, by God's grace and mercy, just His presence in my life, you know, from the time I was a little boy. And
That's awesome.
I've been on a couple of programs over the year or so and, you know, kind of shared my testimony, but my salvation story started actually not far from here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, when I was a seven-year-old boy. Mm. And so my parents were going through a divorce.
Mm.
And my mom put me and my sister on a Greyhound bus from South Georgia to Fort Lauderdale to stay with my uncle and aunt who lived in Fort Lauderdale. And during that summer, I came to faith, gave my life to Christ.
7 years old.
7 years old,
wow,
about to turn
beautiful.
Eight. It was August, August of that year, and so that began the journey, and all. But you know, to fast forward, the incredible growth in my faith became, you know, just intense as a young adult man. Met my wife Sandy, and I will be married 50 years here shortly, but just an incredible father-in-law who mentored me and had just an incredible impact upon me. But my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, is the one who had, in the early days, the tremendous impact upon me. And connected to that was this rich heritage of veteran involvement. And his sons, my uncles, cousins, were all in the military. And so the Vietnam era had a huge impact on me, watching my uncles and cousins serve in Vietnam from 1964 till the men coming out in 1975. Just a huge impact. It was very intense because, you know, I lost a cousin, lost many, many friends, family friends, you know, in that war and all. And so, but my faith was being built upon during that entire time as a child, a teenager, and then began to really grow as a young adult man when I entered active duty as a second lieutenant in 1975 is when I was commissioned. In fact, I'm speaking at a men's retreat, not this weekend, but the weekend after, and just revisiting, you know, my experience with Vietnam veterans, you know, because I came in during that era, although I didn't go to Vietnam, but I remember clearly getting my draft number, 43, and what that meant, you know, and just things started to happen. I was in ROTC in college, and I knew that, you know, that there was a path of kind of my entry into military service, but I didn't know what was going to happen because we were still in Vietnam and all. But April 29th, 1975, I don't know if you don't remember that probably, but I do. I was about to be commissioned as a second lieutenant, and that was the day that the last men were coming out of Saigon. Okay, those Marines, that heroic group of veterans now, well, most of them have passed away, coming out. And if, I don't know if you remember that story or even recall the video and what was happening and all, but I was about to be commissioned, graduate, go on active duty. And, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew that this was what I was going to do. And so my pathway into active duty with the faith journey was remarkable because I was exposed to godly men and women, but mostly men, who could live their faith out on active duty in the midst of a very hard culture, culture, you know, profanity, hard living, drinking, you know, on the weekend, people, soldiers doing this kind of things, and you're trying to live your faith out and all, but incredibly blessed, you know, by grace and mercy, God put me under some incredible men, both on active duty and in church.
Excellent.
You know, so that's a long story to get kind of at your question.
It's kind of important, though, because some people, you know, they have a lot of people have different thoughts about the military, but recognizing that if you are a man or a woman of God, whether you are in or out of the military or wherever you are, God has strength, God has a path, God has partners that are going to come alongside of you and strengthen you in the journey. And I'm sure that was a tremendous development and strengthening time for you and your faith. So your faith definitely was a part of your service. You mentioned your family and how this goes back, and it was sort of you were born into a veteran's family. But it sounds to me like you sensed a bit of calling and direction from God to move in this direction as well. Is that the case?
Well, you know, I think even my wife, Cindy, who is probably listening, you know, we got married my senior year in college. And so I knew we were going to go into the military. We didn't know how long. We, you know, we had not at that point made a, you know, a serious decision about how long to serve. But once we got in and we began to experience the military life in Germany, you know, the Cold War's going on. There's a lot of excitement, you know, about, you know, things going on in the world. And then that experience in Germany, and then an opportunity to go to Fort Bragg, be a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division, got there, served as a company commander. You know, we just fell in love with it. I mean, you know, it was a, before you know it, you know, you already have 7 years, 10 years, 15 years, and this is our life. And we moved 23 times, you know, in our 27 years. We had incredible assignments around the world, working for incredible men and women in the military. But that decision to stay was probably, I think we could attest, that was made at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, when I was in the 82nd Airborne Division, because it was a camaraderie, there was a brotherhood, sisterhood, you know, of that's what we like.
Yeah.
So when you think about Veterans Day today, is it important that we teach our children, our families, that our educational system actually addresses some of these holidays that have been so important in our history? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, the short answer is yes, absolutely. Okay. And to encourage the veterans that may be even listening here to don't sit back, you know, on these important days, whether it's Veterans Day, Memorial Day, or some other significant day that really uplifts the military and the veteran families, because this is a family. You know, my wife served too, okay? Not in uniform, but she served, you know, and all. But, you know, we do have to step forward and speak in schools, you know, take the invitation of your child, grandchild, to go speak to a class, you know, to be involved, public school, private school. But, you know, if there's one thing I would say to the listening audience is be involved in your civic responsibilities, both as a veteran, but as a citizen. You know, just, I mean, obviously we're coming out of this, you know, this earthquake of what happened last night, this morning, right?
Yes.
I mean, the power of prayer, you know, and that's, you know, we want to take advantage of this as veterans. Today, we have a window of opportunity.
We do.
Mm-hmm. We can't squander this. Right. We cannot squander this opportunity as veterans, you know, to do our job, to do the, you know, the responsibilities we have, to even communicate, you know, what, you know, the Veterans Day is about, you know, but more importantly, encouraging young people to consider, you know, this life and all. And I have mixed emotions about serving in the military, at least in these last few years, because there's a great tension and a tug of war.
Spiritual.
Because of a lot of politicization of the military and this, you know, just this wokeness that has creeped into it. I think we may see a lot of that being pulled back now over the next
few years.
I pray
that's the case.
Please. Yes, please.
Yeah, and we need to pray. We do need to pray.
But I don't know if that makes sense. But
it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. I'll be in a restaurant, Cracker Barrel, or you know, around town gas station. I'll see someone with, maybe a cap on or something, or maybe I'll see an insignia on the back of a car. Maybe it's Marine Corps, or Army, or Navy, or whatever.
Right.
And I was sort of taught to just understand and share some respect by just saying thank you for your service, but I always feel like that's almost too cheap. I don't know. Does that matter? Does it matter that people who have not served take notice of those who have served?
Well, I think it's an important gesture, an important, you know, encouragement and all, but I would just encourage the veteran community that may even be listening to this, because I know many of the men and women doing this do the same thing. I do the same thing as a veteran. I do the same
thing. So you do that.
But if I can engage them, even in a short conversation, I want to turn it to the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Which is excellent.
You know, because that opens a door. Your veteran connectivity opens the door to have a gospel conversation and open this up to, you know, what Christ did for us, okay? Mm. Because again, we don't want to squander the time, right?
Right.
We don't want to squander the time and all. But to your question, yes, it's important.
So we need to share that.
We do.
We need to share that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was with my son. We were talking to with General Boykin a few years ago.
Yeah. He's,
and, you know, my son was thinking about military. And, again, obviously there's a physical manifestation of the great spiritual war, you mm-hmm. know, that's going on. And some were advising my son, don't look at the military. And I remember General Boykin saying, we need Christian generals
yes.
in the military mm-hmm. as
yes.
well.
Yes.
What would you say to families? I mean, I, as a pastor, I speak to families, and I believe we have a God purpose. We have a God calling.
Mm-hmm.
But when we read in the Word of God, we see that part of the spiritual warfare often manifests in a natural way. We see yes. that throughout the yes. First Covenant.
Yes.
And so for a family, you're raising children. I kind of hate to say this, don't even know how to say it other than just to say seems to be a great deal of demasculization
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that's taken place.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of young men grow up maybe without a father in the house.
Right.
And maybe they're not introduced to hunting, fishing, camping, I mean, just one-on-one events with men.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the positive aspects of the military that you believe would be important for a family to think about if they have a son or daughter that's looking at it?
Well, first I would say this, you know, do your homework, okay?
Okay.
Very important to do your homework about the military and, you know, the opportunity, because there are great opportunities in the military, both active, reserve, National Guard. I mean, just incredible opportunities. Mm-hmm. But do your homework. Don't just simply rely on the recruiter, okay?
Okay.
Talk to the veteran community. Talk to the veteran community, because there's a lot of real, I call it, tactical truth, raw truth that you can get from a veteran that has served and exited, right? You can provide that to give a reality. I do that not every week, but I will get questions. A dad or a friend will call me, are you willing to talk to this person?
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. Good. And so I try to help them navigate, you know, this decision and all, because, again, you know, the military that I served in, you know, I retired, 20 plus years ago. It's different today. Mm. It's totally different, you know. And so, but we want young men and women that are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ
Amen.
To
Amen.
Go in and really be, you know, sharpen people, bring people to Christ and all. And so I just want to encourage, you know, us to do that. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. It does. Dave.
Do I have a minute to throw a, I
sure.
know we're running
out. We're almost at the bottom of the hour.
But I, in hearing you, Colonel, talk about your experience, and I was reminded, and I'm going to say this story and invite our listeners to pray for our veterans. When I was a hospice chaplain, I had occasion to minister to a 90-year-old Army veteran
mm-hmm.
who served in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
He was a tanker. And in the course of him getting to know me and trust me, he opened up to the fact that he carried the burden of the deaths of all the men that he had been responsible for. And it, at yes. that time, I became aware the Lord said, you gotta help him let go of that.
Mm-hmm.
That he had never had anyone sit down with him prayerfully, biblically, lovingly to help him see war is different.
Mm-hmm.
And so many bleeding heart liberals, I'm just going to go ahead and use the BLH. I'm going to, what does BLH stand for? That would want him to feel guilty for the murders that they believe happen in war.
Mm-hmm.
War is a different animal. It's a different environment. The Israelites were sent to war by God to take the land of, to take the promised land, the land of Canaan for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So we know, but this man at the age of 92, had carried this burden of guilt. Now the Lord was and the Lord did this. I was honored to be there mm-hmm. with him mm-hmm. to help him to see what God would have in store for him if he would just let go of that. Amen. Believe that God. Yeah, we all need forgiveness, awesome. But he did not go to war to kill people.
Right.
He ended up having to do it. But how many, I'm saying this because so many of our veterans still living from whatever war they are a part of, or wars, some of them carry this burden. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to ask our listeners to join us in praying for them that they would be released from that mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. before they go to their deathbed, some of whom are right perched on the brink of that. Mm-hmm.
Colonel Bragg, would you lead us in that prayer? Yeah. We're really coming to a time of being out of time, okay. But I believe your coming today has been an extremely positive encouragement to our listeners and our families of the importance and necessity for righteous people mm-hmm. to stand up and to serve in the days that we live in.
Yes. Okay.
Please lead us.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you so much. You are sovereign. You are God, thank and we are you, not, Lord. And I just thank you that I can be here today. And thank you to Jonathan and David and Karen and Jesus. For this invitation that I can come and just share shortly, you know, with my experience, Lord. Right now, I lift up all the veteran thank community, you, yes, all those Father. Veterans that may be listening or veteran families, Lord. And I just pray if there's something that's being just weighing down on any of these men and women, you would liberate them, yes, free Lord. Them, Lord, yes. from this. Father, there's so much spiritual warfare going on. I just pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, for yes. a freedom, for a liberation, Lord, yes. from all of this, Father God. I lift up all the veteran families in this listening area, Lord. I pray for them. I lift them up. I pray for their safety, security, their well-being, Lord. So many of our veterans are still suffering from chronic yes. health issues, mm-hmm. some from post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury and injury in different places, Father, both in their emotional state, Lord. And so I pray for a freedom, a liberty, of yes. this, Lord. I pray for salvation to reign.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And so I lift up these families, the husbands, the wives, the children, the grandchildren, just even the siblings, Lord, of these veteran families, Lord. And so I give this to you, and I pray it all thank in the you. Mighty name yes. of Jesus amen. Christ, our Savior.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, it has been a delight having you with us today. I just kind of feel like I've been in the presence of God, and that you ushered in a whole fresh vision mm-hmm. of the value and importance of being godly in whatever our walk of life is.
Yeah, and I thank you for the opportunity. You know, I work with an organization called Walking with Warriors. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Dobbs, who happens to be my son-in-law.
Oh, wow.
Leads that organization, and they really reach out to veterans, law enforcement, first responders, but really a great ministry to strengthen those that need to be strengthened, because, you know, the Apostle Paul, you know, tells us to be strong.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Know, and we need that, each of us.
We do, for sure. Amen. Well, thank you very much, thank and we look forward to having you back.
Thank you.
And back again. Because I believe we just barely touched it. Amen. We're going to go to a song at this time. This is Wednesday Live. It's right now 11:34, and we have several more topics that we're going to be addressing today. And so I want to encourage you, keep your dial set right here at 89.9. And the song is God of Miracles.
But help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise.
champion's not dead, he is alive. Oh, and he already knows my every need. Surely he will come and rescue me. God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural
Well, I'll tell you what, I do believe that we are seeing miracles take place in our day. Over the last several months, there's been a lot of prayer. The last few years, there's been a lot of prayer. And I can see that there are changes beginning to take place. I love to see the baptisms where thousands in California are coming to faith in Christ. Mario Morello. Was listening to him talk about his tent with 5,000 people, and he said, I'm ministering to gangs and drug addicts, street people by the thousands, enlarging his tent so he can seat 7,000 because they cannot sit all the people that are coming to Christ. I want to welcome Kathy Gademke and also Carol Scott, who is with us in studio right now. Ladies, you're part of 10 America. What is 10 America, and what is your passion?
10 America is a national kingdom movement involving putting tents of worship out in the public so that the ordinary person walking by can experience the presence of God.
Okay. Okay, you're involved in the GLOW. Both of you ladies work on the Treasure Coast of Florida?
Yes.
President of what, Stewart?
President Stewart and
Carol?
The area.
The area, okay. The area.
From Vero Beach to Boca.
So I know you've been involved in some 10 Americas where you actually had a physical site set up. I've been a part of some of those. What is the date for this year's event?
The date stands as at November 21st through the 23rd.
So it's more than a day.
Yes, multiple days.
And this is more than just having a tent and a place. I know you're still kind of looking for a place, right?
Right.
What are you looking for? Someone may be listening today and say, "Hey, I have a place like that."
Just a an open field where we can pop up a tent.
How big is the tent?
We're still working on that.
Oh, okay.
It could be like 20 by 40, something like that.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be huge.
Not huge. And we need a little bit of electricity just to run some equipment.
And you want it in a prominent place where it can be seen, where people can come, they can park, they can get in. So if you're listening today and you have, would a shopping center work? Could this be done in a parking lot? Could this be done in a field?
If it's big enough.
Okay. Well, I see a bunch of tents going up to sell Christmas trees, so there has to be somebody that has a tent where the glory of the Lord can come. Listen, if you own property and it's in a place where a tent can be set up, where you are interested in having people come and pray, and you know the importance of that here in our region, who should they call? How can they get a hold of you?
They can call me at 772-834-1599.
Give me that number again.
772-834-1599.
Okay, so, and this is Kathy that is speaking, so you can call Kathy. And where is, what area are we talking about? We talking about Martin, St. Lucie, Indian River? What are we talking about?
Martin County.
Martin County. So looking for a place in Martin County where a tent can be set up. And tell me about the schedule. What happens with the schedule, with the prayer?
Well, usually it's focused on worship, although
prayer
can be a part of it.
Okay.
And the plan is to have continual worship, you know, just
switching
from one group to another. We have one group that is committed to come, my friends from Orlando with Without Walls Ministries. They're always willing to come down at the drop of a hat, assuming they're not in Columbia or something like that, and they'll come and they'll play for several hours and they'll enjoy our good nature down here, and then they'll go back to Orlando. But they are committed to coming on that Friday.
Okay. So focus on worship.
Mm-hmm.
This goes 24 hours a day?
Yes, that's the plan. You know, late at night we can't have loud speakers and everything, so we're just going to go acoustic.
Okay.
But basically it's worship, prayer, and gospel proclamation are the three main things.
Worship, prayer, and proclamation. Okay.
No preaching. Sorry. Only if you're preaching the gospel.
Amen. Amen. All right. So once again, if you're just tuning in, this is Wednesday Live, but I have a couple ladies that are a part of Women's Aglow. But at this time of year, Tent America is coming up, November the 21st through the 23rd, and they are looking for a location to set up a tent. You may have a tent that they could use. Maybe you know someone that has a tent. Maybe your church has a tent. If you are able to assist, give Kathy a call, 772-834-1599. Now, Kathy, both of you ladies are also involved in Women's Aglow. We have a moment. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Right, well, Aglow is another one of those kingdom-minded ministries. It's all about bringing primarily women together for prayer and fellowship and just, you know, loving on one another and serving one another and serving the community.
And where do you meet, and how can people connect with that and be a part of Women's Aglow?
Well, Stewart Aglow meets on the second Saturday of every month, so we've got one coming up coming Saturday at 9:45. We get together for a little fellowship and some breakfast, and then we have maybe a speaker or some other kind of activity. And this Saturday, we're going to be streaming our international conference.
Oh, okay. Excellent. And where do you meet?
We're at the Pine Lake Gardens and Estates Clubhouse. So if you go down US 1, just a little bit past Cove, hang a right, it's Pine Lake Gardens, and the clubhouse is right there, not too far in.
Okay. And Carol, are you actually in Fort Pierce, or where are you located?
I'm located here in Stewart,
okay,
but my area extends from Vero Beach all the way down to Boca.
And, wow, it's good you're a young lady.
Yes,
you all work together then.
We do. Right now we have an Aglow lighthouse. We call them lighthouses because they bring the light of Jesus to the
Excellent.
Area. And so we have one in Boynton Beach right now. We have another one in Port St. Lucie. And we have, of course, Kathy's in Stewart. And we have a Bible study in Vero Beach right now. So, and if you have a group of men, well, it could be men and women. That's why we're called now Aglow International.
Okay.
So if you have couples that wanted to form a group, we're open. We'd love to have you, so let us know.
Excellent. Excellent.
And I wanted to, one thing that was laid on my heart this morning is to read the scripture where our group derived our name.
Good.
And I want to read this, Romans 12, 11 through 12, in the Amplified Classic. Never lag in zeal. Our group started in 1967, and I say, Kathy, we have more zeal than we've ever had before. Mm. And in earnest endeavor, be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoice and exult in hope, be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation, be constant in prayer. And one thing I can say about Aglow is, from the very beginning, the zeal and the prayer, the love for to see people come to Jesus. That's what we are about. Be Aglow, burning with the Spirit.
Amen. It's absolutely powerful, having been in this area since I was 5 years old. Coming into the kingdom really during the charismatic renewal part of that time, and remembering the foundation that Women's Aglow, back in those days it was Women's Aglow, had in the formation, the establishment, and the strengthening of the body of Christ. On the Treasure Coast today, there are many churches and many believers that if you look back in your rearview mirror, you're going to see Women's Aglow, and now Aglow International, that was used of God, still is being used of God, to stir up faith. This is not a denominational gathering.
Absolutely.
This is an opportunity to get outside of your box, come and mix with some other ladies who believe in all the scriptures, believe in the power of God, believe in praying for healing, and God does signs and wonders and Amen. Miracles in the lives of those that seek Him. Mm-hmm. So, Kathy, it's awesome to have you with us. You're the president of Stuart Women's Aglow, and also Carol Scott, who is the regional area president from Vero to Boca. It's an honor to have both of you. And once again, we want to emphasize that Tent America is still alive and looking to find a tent and a place to park it. And so if you can help with that, coming up November the 21st through the 23rd, 24 hours a day, live worship, looking for a place to place the tent, and looking for a tent to place on the property. So, ladies, I just have to tell you, Kathy, specifically you, back, two, 3 years ago, you had called in, and I think it may have been Tent America or something, and I just was kind of in prayer about it. Father, what am I to do? And I heard very clearly the Father say, you need to help these ladies, because there's a lot of people doing nothing. And you need to encourage them, because they have a zeal to follow God and to stir up faith in the community. So, ladies, we thank God for you. Thank you for coming in today. Thank you for sharing your heart. And if you have access, you own a piece of land, you rent a piece of land, you have access where the roads are good, there's power available, where a tent could be set up, please give them a call, 772-834-1599. That's 772-834-1599. And let's just believe God that during this season of Thanksgiving, that a lot of praise is going to be raised up, and that Tent America will continue to be a strong ministry right here in the Treasure Coast of Florida.
Amen.
God bless you, gals.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you
so much for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for
and
having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Give Kathy a call. And you can also call the station. We'll have the phone numbers here, and we'll be happy to pass those along to you. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I call forth a piece of property that's going to work for these ladies to set up their tent and for the glory of the Lord to be established right here in the Treasure Coast of Florida. We give thanks and praise to you in Jesus' name. Yes. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. I wish we had a bigger parking lot. I'd say, come right here and set it up outside. I would love to have it right here, and we could just talk about it every day, but we'll look to do that. Remember the Bible Marathon. Karen, give that one more time. It's going on right now.
Yes, it's going on at the Band Shell at Memorial Park in downtown Stuart, the 24th Annual Bible Reading Marathon. If you'd like to read the Bible for 15 minutes publicly, then you can call, I don't have the number right here with me, but you could call the station, 772-221-1100, and we can give you the
Rodriguez's number.
The contact number for that. But great opportunity to speak the Word of God publicly without fear of reprisal.
Amen.
Amen.
And this next song is entitled, If the Lord Builds the House. We're going to be back in just a moment. I have a pastor going to join me. We're going to be talking about what happened with the life issue yesterday in the vote.
Amen.
were sick, he said. So I put my
All right, we're coming back. We have to jump right back. We just have a few minutes left, about 10 minutes. And I am hopeful that we have Pastor Sam Chess joining us right now. Pastor, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Jonathan. Thank you.
All right. Well, that last song, if the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. I do believe that the enemy is upset when God builds a house. He wants to come and tear things apart. But God is on the move. Pastor, I know that Grace Emmanuel Church, you and your wife and so many others have been very involved in this fight for life right here in the state of Florida. Where do we stand?
Well, last night we stand in a much better place than we were. Of course, Amendment 4 was such a deep concern, and for whatever reason, it grabs my wife at CareNet, but it grabbed me too back a number of months ago. So we've been pouring into that. And then we did see a victory last night. Thank God we fell 3 points short of that passing. Although that concerns me, because 3 points short of that passing means that 57% of the state of Florida voted yes on 4. So we got a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do.
So
thank God it did not pass.
Well, praise God. Praise God. But this was really close. It was too close. Really close.
Yeah. One of the things that we were saying, several were saying, even up to the governor's office, were saying we need to beat this badly. We need to beat it down below 50%, or they will come back. And that is certainly a concern. They spent over $100 million, and I had heard at one point they had up to $300 million that they were going to spend. So I don't imagine that this has gone away, that they're just simply going to say we're done and go away. So I'm really concerned, thinking, planning, strategizing, and a lot of other people are too, that when it comes around again, if it comes around again, when it comes around again, we need to be more ready. Because we have a state that obviously voted as more conservatively perhaps than it ever has, including even Dade County voting conservative perhaps the first time. And yet, out of all of that, out of state that voted more conservatively than it ever has, 57% of those people still seem to feel like it was okay to terminate a child in the womb. And I don't believe that all of those people believe that. I just don't. I mean, a lot of Latinos now are voting, and they're voting much, much more conservatively. And they have a conservative mindset when it comes to real biblical values. And yet, somehow or another, we haven't yet convinced them of just how evil this whole amendment was. I mean, the idea that it would have provided for an abortion right up until the day of birth, and it would have. People will tell you other than that, but it definitely would have done that. The idea that it took away parental consent, that a parent no longer had the right to tell anybody what could happen to their 14-year-old daughter, and instead that decision could be made by a government employee in a school or anybody. And then, of course, the idea of taking away the whole need for an actual licensed physician. Those are evil things. We're not talking here about a political view. We're talking about morality, or a complete lack of morality. So I'm convinced a lot of people voted yes because they just simply didn't know any better. And we're going to have to do better. We're going to have to do better.
So, Sam, how do we do that? How do we do that? I have just been amazed at the focus that God has brought through you and through your ministry and through many others here in the state of Florida, even our governor, to seek to educate, equip the state to know the truth about this. How do we move on from here? What happens next?
What we discovered was, I mean, we did put a lot of effort into getting signs all over the place, and of course the radio program that was promoting it, but we found people within 2 weeks of that actual vote, we had people, churches in our area, big churches in our area, that were saying, we don't have any idea what Amendment 4 is even all about. Would you please tell us what it's about? This was just 2 weeks before the vote. So there has to be a planned way between now and, say, 2 years from now, or now and 4 years from now, whenever these people get enough energy to bring it back again, that we have somehow convinced churches of the utter importance of human life in the womb. And I'm one of those people, I don't even say life starts at conception, because it actually doesn't. You have a living egg. Life started one time. Life started when God breathed the breath of life into Adam and apparently Eve. But after that, we simply transfer life. We don't create new. We're taking a living egg and a living sperm. They're being united, and that creates a new being, but we're not recreating life. So the idea that we have the right, even one day after conception, to then snuff out the image of God, the breath of God, in what has been made inside of the womb, just doesn't make any kind of biblical sense. It's wrong. It's morally wrong. And yet so many people don't believe it. I literally heard a girl, 21-year-old girl, say a week before this vote, she was down here working very hard on the Yes on 4 amendment, and she had poured her life in, coming from some other state to come down here and help make sure that this amendment passed. And when she started to see that it wasn't going to pass, she said, I got so nervous, but I decided to just let Jesus take the wheel. And when you hear something like that, here's a 21-year-old who's fighting for the right to abort a baby, but when she's concerned it's not going to pass, she's going to, quote, let Jesus take the wheel. That stuns me that kind of mindset is even out there. And yet, obviously, it is. The same person who's supposedly trusting Jesus is fighting for the right to abort a baby in the womb.
Well, there's definitely a lot of work to be done. Pastor, you know, after Roe versus Wade was brought down, I believe there were many people who thought, you know, let's just breathe real deep. That fight's over. But it wasn't.
In fact, there were a greater number of abortions in 2023 in the state of Florida than there had been in the 10 years previous. More abortions last year than the 10 years previous. So the fight wasn't over. Now we're down to the six-week ban, and that ban is in effect, and it will remain in effect now, thank God, as a result of this amendment not passing.
Well, I know that God's given you a voice. Many have been challenged and stirred by your call to action, and I thank God for that. And I certainly desire to stand with you and with other pastors and other leaders in this season, when it seems that there are many people that are in church, that go to church, but I just wonder if people are finding that the churches are centers of entertainment and centers of motivation rather than being centers that bring and bear biblical truth that equip them to understand what a biblical worldview is.
The answer is yes. And there were churches even in this cycle that basically didn't mention it. Didn't mention the whole 4 issue, didn't mention the abortion issue. However, I will say on a very positive note, there were some churches that really dug in for the first time, perhaps. They hadn't dealt with abortion because so many